Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Well, I think that the driver, about half of the gain, is accounted for by two things: gasoline prices and shelter prices. And you know, the shelter price has really been the sticky component. It's part of the service products that consumers buy. And the shelter has been holding up much better than people thought. Even Chairman of the Federal Reserve Powell had talked about shelter prices falling eventually, but we haven't really seen that yet in the data.
Welcome to Markets Daily for Wednesday, April 10th, 2024. Join us as we delve into the insights of the sharpest minds in the investment world, seasoned investors, traders, analysts, and anyone else you're eager to hear from. Don't hesitate to share your preferences with us. I'm Helene Braun, markets reporter at CoinDesk, bringing you today's episode from sunny Miami. Sadly, the market isn't looking so bright and, well, sunny this morning, which is most likely a reaction to the Consumer Price Index, or CPI, which came in hot across the board. Bitcoin and Ethereum are down about 4% over the past 24 hours, according to CoinDesk indices at 8:40 a.m. Eastern Time. Bitcoin is trading at around $68,000 and Ether is at $3,475. The broader market, which you can track with the CoinDesk 20 index, is also down about 4%. As mentioned before, the biggest story in crypto and financial markets more broadly today is the inflation reading, which just came in minutes ago. So let's bring in Mark Chandler, Chief Market Strategist at Bannockburn Global Forex. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
So, Mark, Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies are currently experiencing fluctuations in response to the Consumer Price Index report. Could you give our audience a brief overview of the report and share your initial thoughts on its implications?
Sure. Well, the first thing you should know is that it did come in higher than expected. The market was looking for a 0.3% increase in both the headline and the core rate. The core rate excludes food and energy prices. Both of those 0.4%. So what it meant really is that the headline rate of inflation rose to 3.5%, while the core rate was expected to dip a little bit, was unchanged at 3.8%. The importance of this is that it's the third consecutive month of stronger than expected price pressures. And this comes on the heels of strong U.S. jobs market. And what this has done is it's taken U.S. interest rates sharply higher, push down risk assets, including, as you say, crypto, and has taken the dollar sharply higher.
Mark, is there anything that stuck out to you in this CPI report in particular? Anything that surprised you?
Well, I think that the driver, about half of the gain, is accounted for by two things: gasoline prices and shelter prices. And, you know, the shelter price has really been the sticky component. It's part of the service products that consumers buy. And the shelter has been holding up much better than people thought. Even Chairman of the Federal Reserve Powell had talked about shelter prices falling eventually, but we haven't really seen that yet in the data.
So many say that today's CPI reading was likely one of the most crucial this year, as it has a huge influence on whether we will see a rate cut in June or not. How, in your view, will this report perhaps change the Fed's plan to cut interest rates this year? And how, I guess, should crypto traders react to this report?
Yeah, sure. So first, I think that, you know, the Federal Reserve, when they met in March, and later today, we'll have those March minutes. When the Fed met in March, it was basically the Federal Reserve itself was split. There's 19 officials. 10 of them thought that 3 cuts or more would be appropriate this year. And the other 9 thought 2 cuts or less would be appropriate. And so I think that today's data just shifts the needle a little bit in favor of those who looked for fewer cuts this year. The market had already moved, downgraded the chances of a June cut. There was no longer 100% confidence of a July cut either. And so what this means then is we run out of like runway, if you will, number of meetings in the year, and how much the Fed could cut. And so I would not be surprised the market going into the CPI had a little bit more than a 50% chance of a third cut this year. And it wouldn't surprise me to see that downgraded and the market feeling more comfortable still with Fed cuts, but not beginning till later and fewer cuts this year, maybe 2 rather than 2.5 or 3.
I want to stick with macro here for a second, but I want to quickly go to the jobs report, which we saw come in hot as well last week as it surpassed expectations significantly, which signals a robust economy, yet poses concerns for the market regarding interest rates. However, how comprehensive is this report in reflecting the true state of the labor market? Because other data suggests a decline in wage growth, which prompts questions about the report's completeness. I guess, what additional factors is the Fed considering in its assessment here?
So when the Federal Reserve says that they have 2 mandates, right? Price stability and full employment. I really think they have a third mandate, and it sort of is a shadow of the others, and it's really about financial stability. But when the Federal Reserve has focused, because the labor market's been fairly strong, they've been able to focus on their price mandate. And I think from the Federal Reserve's point of view, not so much individual economists that can tear apart the data and see, for example, the U.S. lost full-time jobs, or as you mentioned, wage growth is slowing, which is really what the Fed would like to see. I think that this just allows the Federal Reserve to focus more on the inflation gauge. Now, when it comes to what the Fed says is their dual mandate, they say that there's not one number that captures the labor market like there is for inflation. And that is to say the Federal Reserve targets the deflator of the personal consumption expenditures, which after economists know the CPI and they know the PPI, it's relatively straightforward to have an assessment or have a calculation for the PCE deflator. So today's CPI sort of steals the thunder from the PCE deflator. But to your point about the labor market, I think that for many of us in the labor market, we would like to see better wages, making up for the lack of real wage increases in the past. But this is one way in which the U.S. right now is sort of American exceptionalism. U.S. real wages, that is wages adjusted for inflation, are rising faster than inflation. And this is helping underpin consumption. And I know a lot of my friends talk about the number of part-time jobs being created, but when you really dig below the surface, many of those people taking part-time jobs are doing it not because they have to, but because they want to, for various reasons that this could be, this could play a role in this. And so I'd say, generally speaking, the labor market is sufficiently strong, price pressures are sufficiently strong to prevent the Federal Reserve from cutting rates as soon as many of us thought they would, which is in June.
Global crypto regulation, the disruptive power of AI, the rise of tokenization. Consensus is the one event where experts convene to talk about the ideas shaping our digital future. Join developers, investors, founders, brands, policymakers, and plenty more in Austin, Texas from May 29th to the 31st. The 10th annual Consensus is curated by CoinDesk to feature the industry's most sought-after speakers, unparalleled networking opportunities, and unforgettable experiences. Take 15% off with this registration code, MD15. Register now at consensus.coindesk.com.
Mark, why are we seeing Bitcoin rise with declining inflation? Shouldn't there be an inverse relationship given Bitcoin's inflation hedging characteristics?
Yeah, you know, I follow Bitcoin, and I just don't know about these anti-inflation characteristics. I think that the reason that Bitcoin rallied so strongly this year, and by strongly, it's up over 60% this year. And the reason, I think, is the advent of the ETF and the demand related to that. I think that there's other products. I mean, gold is at record highs. So if you're bullish on gold, I wouldn't buy crypto, I'd buy gold. If you're bullish crypto, buy crypto. I think that the drivers have changed. I think last time I was on, I was pointing out a strong correlation between crypto, Bitcoin in particular, and things like the NASDAQ. And that correlation's broken down. So the use case and the correlations have broken down. But I think that as a speculative asset, I think it still draws a lot of adherence. I don't see a strong correlation between crypto and gold, crypto and interest rates in the U.S. You know, crypto was down before we had the CPI. We've got a big jump in interest rates today. Call it like 15 to 20 basis points on the 2 to the 10 year. And you would think that the higher interest rates saps the demand for non-interest-bearing assets. But that's really not always the case, as we see with gold still pretty firm.
It's interesting that you say that, because last week we had Matt Hogan on the show. And yesterday he tweeted that while the Fed was an important driver behind the price of Bitcoin during COVID, that's no longer the case. So it seems like you agree with that view.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's really a question. Like I mentioned, the advent of the ETF has been really a big boon for it. It helps legitimize crypto in the eyes of many. It makes it more accessible to people who are regulated to trading only the main markets, whether they're futures or the stock market.
So I recently did some research into the relationship between the Bitcoin ETFs and the halving. And a lot of my sources had told me that they anticipate the impact of the halving to be slightly weaker than in previous years, given the shock to supply that the ETFs caused already. What's your outlook on the impact of the halving on crypto prices?
Yeah, what you said makes sense to me. I think of it often like people liking to wait to a stock split, even though it really doesn't change valuation. By lowering the price, it makes it more accessible to people. That's I think, the general perception. And so this is all, I think, good for building up the crypto space and Bitcoin as a speculative vehicle to express one's views.
And finally, earlier this week, everybody got excited about a rally in the price of Bitcoin, which sparked optimism for potential new highs in Bitcoin. However, yesterday painted a different picture as Bitcoin experienced a pullback of approximately 4%. I guess, when do you anticipate witnessing new record highs here?
Yeah, I don't know if I have a good time frame, but I do think that we've been in a broad consolidation pattern for a bit more than a month now. And, you know, as market participants, we have to decide whether that consolidation is a top or a continuation pattern. And my best guess is it's going to be a continuation pattern. The continuation pattern from technical analysis might have a little bit more work to do. But perhaps what happens is that we've had a very strong Q1 U.S. data. And maybe when the U.S. economy does turn, when the market does become more convinced of Fed cuts, maybe that's when these speculative vehicles really can take off another leg higher.
Anything in particular that you're looking at in today's Fed minutes?
You know, we already know the quantitative. Now we're really looking for qualitative. How convinced? What's the conviction between, like, say, it's hard to call the difference between the Fed, the split, the Fed, the hawkish and dovish. We're talking about two cuts or less, or three cuts or more. It's very fine line. What I think is striking is the contrast. Is shortly the Bank of Canada is going to meet this morning, and they're going to stay on hold. But the case for them cutting maybe in June is strengthening. Weak employment data, some downside surprises on inflation. The ECB meets tomorrow, and they're going to get the European Central Bank, and they're likely to continue laying the groundwork for a June rate cut. The Bank of England also looks like it's moving towards a June rate cut. And so this puts the Federal Reserve sort of as the lagger in this cycle of easing. We've already seen the Swiss National Bank cut rates. And so the Federal Reserve and maybe Australia, New Zealand become the last of the major countries to cut interest rates, with the Bank of Canada, the ECB, the Bank of England possibly going as early as June.
Interesting. So seems there's some pressure on the Fed here from other central banks. Mark, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Good luck to everybody.
That was Mark Chandler, Chief Market Strategist at Bannockburn Global Forex. And that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in, and let us know if you like this episode, and feel free to leave a comment wherever you're listening or watching. Until then, tune in every day to get your latest markets news from me, Helene Braun, and my co-host, Jen Sanasi.